This is Mark Strassman, reporter with California Politics Today. We're about to speak to Dana Cody, who's the executive director at the Life Legal Defense Foundation. Welcome back to California Politics Today.
Thank you.
When we last spoke, the Supreme Court of California had told you that they weren't the place to bring your writ of mandate request, and instead you needed to go to a superior court in California. What's happened since then?
Well, we've taken a look at the possibility of filing in various superior courts, because we don't think necessarily that Sacramento would be the best venue.
Right.
And so we've done some research, and we've decided that we need to file in Alameda County, which is the county where the ICOC is located, the
right.
Independent Citizens Oversight Committee.
Right. It's located its temporary offices are in Emeryville.
Correct, and that's Alameda County, and so that's the county where we will be filing a complaint for declaratory and injunctive relief.
Okay, and what kind of relief do you want the court to give you?
We're again asking them to issue an injunction preventing any funds to be distributed because they aren't under the exclusive management and control of the state. It's the same constitutional provision, Article 16, Section 3 of the California Constitution, that we were seeking relief under with the writ.
Okay, so this is fundamentally the same case. You're asking for the same thing on the same grounds as you did when you asked the Supreme Court for help.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you know when you're going to be filing this? You will have filed it just recently when this is finally aired. But in retro, when we're talking today on, we can say that, can't we? And we're saying
yeah,
this
I don't
related.
See why not.
Today is Wednesday, the 30th of March, but we're not putting this up on the website until you do file. But as of now, on Wednesday, the 30th, when do you expect that you probably will be filing?
We'll probably file either April 4th or 5th of next week.
4th and 5th, that would be Monday or Tuesday.
Monday or Tuesday. And, you know, with any litigation, I mean, there could be unforeseen things come up, and we might not file until a day or two after that. But right now, we're planning on the 4th or 5th.
Okay, if people are listening to this, you filed.
Right.
Okay. What do you see as your prospects here, and what do you see as the prospect that the simple filing of the suit is going to have, what effect that might have on the operations of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine and its plans to issue grants?
Well, they claim that they can't issue grant funding until they're able to obtain bonds, and they say that they can't do that until they have a file a court validation action to get the bonds validated. So, I don't want, obviously don't want this funded.
So are you saying they can't issue grants until the bonds are sold? The bonds haven't been sold or issued yet, right?
Right.
And you're
and
saying
so
that they say that they can't do that until they get a judicial determination that it's okay to go ahead?
Yes. And in looking at their agenda for next week, which is April the 7th,
right.
They're going to make the recommendation that bonds be purchased, which means if they go ahead with that recommendation...
Or issued, I guess. Right.
Right. They'll have to seek a validation action from the court. And, in fact, that was part of the Supreme Court's order. They directed the respondents to do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say again what the Supreme Court directed them to
they,
do?
They said in the in their order that the petitioners, excuse me, that the respondents should seek a validation action in the court.
And would defeating your suit constitute that validation action?
I honestly don't know the answer to that question. I don't think so.
Do they have to go to court and get a positive validation from some court saying that they're entitled to issue the bonds?
That's what the Supreme Court was saying, and that's what the Attorney General, who is their attorney,
right.
Mark Pachter, has said. So I would assume, yes, that they do need to do that.
Okay, now, in the original case as it was filed in the Supreme Court, it was my understanding that while they were opposed to your petition substantively, mm-hmm. that the ICOC / CIRM wanted a rapid adjudication of the matter. Is that right?
Correct. They did.
And how about now? Are they also... Are they implicitly or explicitly cooperating with you to get a rapid disposition of the case?
Well, we haven't really contacted them.
Right.
I mean, we see no reason to. I'm sure they could contact us if they want to.
Right. So are they going to? What are they going to be required to do after you file? What are their options after that?
They'll have to respond to the legal complaint.
And how long will they have to do that? Do you know?
I believe it's 30 days.
So presumably, and they're having a meeting a few days after your presumed filing date.
Right. If we go ahead and file on the 4th or 5th as planned, then you know they'll definitely they'll probably be discussing it
on the 7th. This is the regular monthly meeting of the Independent Citizens Oversight Committee you're talking about. That's going to take place on the 7th.
Yeah, I'd have to look at their agenda again on their website, but I believe that it is.
Okay. All right. So you want to say anything again about who the plaintiffs are that you're representing in this case?
Sure. The plaintiffs are two taxpayer groups, the first one being People's Advocate and the second being the National Tax Limitation Foundation. And, of course, their interest in this is seeing that there aren't taxpayer funds distributed to an entity that is not accountable to the state. And we think that they aren't, you know, for the various legal reasons that we've already discussed in previous interviews.
Right.
And also, Senator Ortiz, who was a proponent of Prop 71,
right,
is seeking control still in the legislature.
Right.
I believe that Senator George Runner has joined her in those efforts. And the last I heard from a gentleman named Charles Halpern, I didn't talk to him directly, but I've been following his administrative complaints. I mean, implicitly, Robert Klein and the ICOC have told him, you know, we're not going to follow the open meeting rules, so...
Although open meeting rules don't figure into your suit.
No, they don't figure into our suit, except to show that the ICOC is really not interested in being accountable to the public.
Okay, which is one of the principal points that you are trying to make.
Correct.
What is Senator Ortiz, trying to do? Does that correspond to what you're trying to do at all? Are you on the same page with her? What's her intent here, as you see it?
We're not on the same page with Senator Ortiz at all. In fact, I've been slightly told in the past when I've attempted to call her, because she is my state senator, not to call her office.
Okay.
But I think her intent is to see that as far as any profits that would be made
right
from the Institute, that the state would get their share of the profits.
Right, okay. Her interest isn't in blocking the bond sales, but that the state at the end of the process should get some of the benefits, or more of the benefits, or enough.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And I don't know if she didn't read the proposition before she was a proponent of it or not, but it clearly states in the proposition that for 3 years the legislature can do nothing with the Institute. So
After the 3 years, it takes 70% vote of the legislature in each house to do anything.
Correct.
Supermajority. Finally, we discussed this briefly in our last conversation, but the interview that I did with a professor at Hastings College of Law focused on the fact that focused on his explaining that in practice the stipulation or the requirement in Article 16, Section 3 of the California Constitution that no organization be allowed to spend money if it's outside state money if it's outside of the control of the state is understood in practice to mean that if there's a public benefit to be derived from that operation of that organization, then it is acceptable. If the Red Cross wants to do something in a disaster, for example, it can spend state money, presumably, even if it isn't under the direct control of the state. What's your thinking or research or approach that you might be taking in order to get around that particular formulation of the constitutional provision?
Well, we don't see how they could claim that they're acting in the public interest when the language of the proposition is so broad and so vague that they can't even identify the type of research that they'll be doing. So you know, there needs to be some definitive guidelines or something. I mean, that's part of what we're claiming in our complaint.
Right.
And also, you know, we know for a fact that embryonic stem cell research has not been successful. That what has been successful is stem cell research using adult and umbilical cord stem cells. And already cures and therapies have been reduced from adult stem cells. And so based on that, I don't see how they can claim that it's in the public interest to, you know, continue research that's, you know,
presumably they could claim that it's potentially in the public interest.
But that
might come down to the issues of the guidelines that you say aren't there. In other words, are you arguing in the brief that you're going to file, or are you prepared to argue in exchanges with them or with the court that what they're doing does not fall under the provisions that the law professor said would exempt them from Article 16, Section 3? In other words, are you prepared, or have you already said that what they're doing is not in the public interest and that it would be wrong to exempt them from that requirement on that basis?
We haven't said so specifically,
right.
But I think the implication is there.
Okay.
And
you're prepared to make that argument, though, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, most definitely, because like I said, if what they fund is research, and that's just about how vague the language is, what does that mean? You know, give us a clue here. Does that mean? What does that mean? They could fund anything. Based on the definitions and the language in the proposition.
You already mentioned it, I guess, in another context. Is this something that procedurally could be settled out of court by you and the ICOC negotiating it?
It would be interesting to try.
Right.
Because we... I mean, speaking for our plaintiffs, I'm sure that they could settle it if the taxpayer concerns that they have were taken care of.
Not to negotiate in public, but what would your client's require that the ICOC agree to in order to drop the suit, if anything?
Well, I haven't actually asked them that question, but I would think pretty much no taxpayer funding.
No taxpayer funding.
No taxpayer funding unless unless you are accountable in some way, shape, or form.
So if they submitted a set of protocols to make them accountable to the state, would that be acceptable to your clients, and that would be the end of the suit? If your clients adjudged that what they submitted put them under the control of the state.
Well, without having discussed it, you know, in
right.
detail with my clients, I would venture to say probably, but still, I mean, you have to remember that the idea of taxpayer groups is, you know, we don't want taxes to fund things that people can fund for themselves. So, ideally, and I'm speaking here in my own opinion as a taxpayer,
right.
I think that government should fund things with taxes that we can't fund for ourselves, like military or roads, and so.
So you're saying it's not the business of the government to fund scientific research?
I don't think it is.
Okay.
No, I think it's the business of you know, private industry and venture capitalists. And I've said this in interviews before that if the research that they are purporting to fund and to complete had promise, they would have no problem. Funding it privately.
I don't want to get too far afield, but the National Institutes of Health gives out billions of dollars in taxpayer funds for research every year, although according
mm-hmm.
to the decision that President Bush made, it can't give that money out for embryonic stem cell research, which is what precipitated the creation of Proposition 71 in the first place. Do you feel that same way about the NIH, that they shouldn't be spending taxpayer money for scientific research? Or NASA, for that matter, doing astronomical and space science research?
Well, I mean,
speaking just for yourself, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, just for myself, I really have to give it some thought. I mean, space is something that, you know, exploration in space is something that, you know, I can see where there would be a benefit to to the United States, and perhaps that's not something that your average person would be able to fund on their own.
Although California here, with Paul Allen's money, the private space program has been moving right along, and they've gone in 62 miles up, and they're, mm-hmm. Richard Branson is planning on taking tourists into space on his Virgin Galactic Airways. So.
Right. I mean, I guess what comes to mind, and this may sound like a really simple, naive answer, but I just remember going to see The Patriot, and in at the very beginning of the movie, when Mel Gibson's character says, "No taxation without representation," I think that's a concept that we've lost. And there was actually somebody behind me in the theater that said, "Well, what does that mean?" I mean, I think taxes are out of control. At the federal and state level, I don't like, getting my paycheck every month and having a large portion of it go to fund things that I don't think need to be funded. And I think that, people always say, well, what about welfare? What about people that, need help? Well, I think that that should be taken care of with private charitable funding. And so I just think that we look too readily to the government to fund things. And the poor taxpayer is just, beaten down. I mean, when I think of the amount of money that I pay in taxes every year that I could use for my family, and, I give money to charity. I could give money to the charities of my choice. I just am astounded that more people aren't upset when the government just gives away money.
Okay, bringing that back to the suit, then that's pretty much a personal principle that's embodied in that's embodied in what you're doing in this claim, then.
Yes, most definitely.
Okay, all right. I want to thank you for that. No one's going to hear this until you do file, and they will be able to hear it presumably within minutes of the time that you do file. And I want to thank you for pre-recording this with us on Wednesday, the 30th of March, for later broadcast, and. I hope we can talk after the suit's been filed with some of the, maybe with the plaintiff or with you again when you're available, and we can see what's happening.
Right. Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Talk to you later.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.